Welcome to the Top Video Game Podcast from HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. It is Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. Joining me this evening, unfortunately, is Jordan Wilson.
Who are you talking to? I know what today is.
I was just trying to be helpful,
yeah,
man.
I know what today
is. I mean...
Oh, did you start recording?
Yeah.
I brought my jokes.
Also joining us tonight is Jason Thompson.
How's it going? I was wondering there for a second who you were going to go with first, so I'm glad you got Jordan out of the way.
I mean, that Band-Aid's best. Just, you know, you don't want to leave the audience waiting like they might. If I introduced you first, they might have thought it was a two-person show and been in a lot better mood. But
then you want to get me talking as quick as you can, because I just.
I mean, I just figured
You're gonna fizzle out quickly.
They know.
I would just interrupt Jason. That's all I would have ended up doing. You would have introduced him, and then I would have somehow found a way to get in. Yeah, it just.
No, I figure we let the people know about 30 seconds in whether or not they need to stick with the show. So the people that are here now are either not paying attention, most likely,
or we're paying them.
Right. So
they deserve the great broadcasting and information that we're about to serve.
The check is in the mail. Let's actually we haven't. This is Jason's first time back since our return to podcasting. So. Jason, what have you been up to, man?
Not a whole lot. you sent out the email, and I was like, I'm looking around like, what have I done with my life since the last time I was on this show?
Turn into a therapy session if you want to like figure out how you can.
It might need to be. I've been working a lot.
That's not
working
good.
A lot.
Tell us about your dreams, Jason. You dream about your mother?
Well, they're all nightmares. So
you dream about my mother.
Sick burn to your own mom.
Right. But yeah, not a whole lot. Just, you know, keep my head down, working. We've had a pretty good, you know, summer weather-wise, so I was trying to get out and do stuff as much as I can. Fall kind of sucks so far, but that's all right. That's expected. At least we have a fall this year. Last year it went from summer straight to winter. That was awkward.
I was going to say, I don't know what your expectations of fall were, but I'm pretty sure it's just being fall. Yeah, so it's not a bad fall. It's just fall.
I don't know. You and I got to experience nonsense tornado sirens for 20 minutes before the whole recording. Yeah. They know how to keep those sirens going just in case people need to know that there's not a tornado coming.
There's another tornado 20 miles away for the next 20 minutes.
No tornado warnings, no thunderstorm warnings during the summer, but fall comes.
Watch out.
That's when we bust out the sirens.
Actually, yeah, there was a night this, I think it was this weekend, the thunder kind of caught me off guard. I was like, what's going on in October?
Was Garth Brooks playing? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh wait, I don't want to speak too much. We might get some.
Yeah, we'll get content banned.
I'm not too sure about Jason's comeback to the show. So far, we talked about weather and got into country music. So, I was hoping you'd talk about like how busted your internet's been or something. Technological.
Well, we can discuss that as well, because I've had solid internet, and then as soon as like I'm upstairs trying to do a couple things, and my wife's downstairs watching Netflix, the whole thing just goes. Crap. So
sometimes
that's
it
what
works.
I've been dealing with lately.
That sucks. Sometimes it works, and then other times you can't share shit. So, but podcasting has to dominate. It is the most important thing going on in the house right now. That's a fact.
Yeah, I told my wife there is no Netflix until I'm done.
Well, we will drag this out. We'll come back to our weather conversation then for sure. Jordan, have you been doing anything interesting that I don't know might be worth telling a story about on a podcast? During the introduction of it,
fall weather.
Good.
It's mine. Yeah,
so the company I work for, we have an Oculus Rift for whatever reason, mm-hmm. And last week we did a non-for-profit thing once a year where we build a website in 24 hours. So it seemed like a good time just to like bring in my gaming PC and hook up the Oculus Rift, and do like
for the website.
So while I'm sitting there.
How is that going to help you build a website?
Just for fun.
I've seen the website. It's crazy.
Yeah, just for fun. You know, you're sitting there for 24 hours with, you know, with everybody you work with, and then the people from this the non-for-profit that we were working with. So it's kind of fun. Just like there was a we had a dart gun war for about 20 minutes. It got pretty aggressive.
Which turned into Russian roulette.
Yeah, and then I brought in my real guns.
Right.
Yeah, no. So I had that. So I had like a Oculus Rift station set up, like next to my laptop where I was working. And so I just let everybody know whenever you've got a minute, if you want to come in and experience virtual reality. The reactions were they were all over the place. So you know how
you guys like, need to film that shit, and you didn't.
No, they did.
Okay,
and good. Then we had the brief conversation where someone during our Monday lunch meeting was like, did somebody record that? That kind of stuff goes viral. We are an amazing.
I just thought it might be entertaining to people that knew the people in the videos, so it doesn't have to take over the world.
It wasn't anyone from the office. It was some people from the non-for-profit.
Okay.
But I needed to test out most of the demos so I could make sure they were working. Mm. So the one I was pretty excited about was called Don't Let Go. So it's just you sitting in front of a computer.
You talked a little bit about this one last week, but
yeah. So you just have to hold the control keys on the actual keyboard, and then in the game, it's just you sitting in front of a computer with your hands on the laptop. So and then just stuff happens. So bees start flying around your head, which isn't too bad, except for by the end of it, there's a bee in your ear, and so you keep you want to flick it. That's not so bad. And then a raptor, like the door opens up and a raptor comes walking.
That's
in
the natural progression of things. Bees to
raptors. He comes up right next to you. And it was funny because then. When I would set the demo up and let people do it, I knew where they were because like they'd be standing there and all of a sudden they would like go the door just opened up, and then they would start like leaning.
Yeah.
As the raptor got closer and closer, they kept leaning away from it, and they were like just looking, to the right, like, oh wow, yeah, wow, look at that guy. Whoa, those teeth are huge. But I'm very much a when I watch something, like I totally invest in it. So when I put on the Oculus, I am in that room sitting there. So when the raptor started walking into the room, like I could feel its presence as it was moving across the room and getting closer to me. So the one after that is some knives fall from the ceiling all around their hands. But it happens too quick. Like if it happened real slow one after another, then it would give your mind too much time to think about it.
Yeah,
but the one after that was this big ass spider that comes crawling out from behind the laptop and then kind of crawls around on the laptop for a bit, comes over and kind of like plays, I don't know, pokes at your fingers, and then just starts crawling up your arm.
I'm on your face.
That's what I want to fuck. The thing was off. I couldn't handle it. I mean, you don't feel it, obviously, but I could.
Uh-huh.
I could feel that thing just crawling up my arm, and the game, like right before it does that, the guy that created the demo, because you're looking at a laptop, so when the demo starts, the guy comes on and he explains the demo, tells you to put on earphones, and then after the knife thing, before the spiders, he goes, "Well, I guess it wasn't scary enough. How do you feel about spiders?" And then the game gives you this big warning, like the siren going off. It's now time for the spiders. So if you have any kind of arachnophobia, you might want to just pull out now. But
what's a spider time alarm sound like? Is it like a tornado siren?
Just the normal alarm that goes off in my apartment when I see a spider. Sounds like a little girl screaming.
I forget. Like I remember showing you spider photos one day after I'd moved into my new place, and I couldn't remember. Do you have arachnophobia a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I've gotten over it a little bit. I've started catching spiders and identifying them because I used to, any spider I would see, it was a brown recluse.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Naturally. So, no, that's a black widow.
Yeah. Well, that one's pretty obvious, but. So, no, I couldn't handle it. So everyone else that did the demo was okay with that. And so I'm having them explain the rest of the demo.
Oh, so you didn't. Okay.
Because I couldn't see it. I couldn't get past the part with the freaking giant spider.
No, you threw the you threw the mask off as soon as he said the word spider. You didn't even see that thing come around the lap.
Well, like I said, I've gotten over my arachnophobia a little bit, but man,
but
I was
virtual
not expecting...
arachnophobia, that's a whole new beast to conquer.
Well, I thought it would be like a tarantula or something like that, but it was one of the like orb weaver spiders with they're just
really thin legs.
Round. They're the like every time there's a terrifying like spider on a TV show or some stupid
is that the thing that can
movie?
Like kill the birds like.
Like, no, good heavens, no, that's the Goliath birdie.
he knows all the details.
That one's...
Yeah.
I can't even look at pictures online of that spider without cringing.
Woo.
But the other one we did was a roller coaster one. Yep. So you're like a... it's a roller coaster in a living room. So you're 3 inches tall riding a roller coaster around the living room.
No, I don't want to. It's dumb.
Yeah. No, you have to picture it.
That's like an Unreal Tournament mod.
Close your eyes, and I'm going to describe it to you, and you're going to enter into a virtual.
Sounds like Commander.
Yeah, yeah. So that was novel. Everyone appreciated that fact. Well, if it was just a roller coaster, yeah, it would have just been the sensation of riding it. But everyone liked that one because, like, oh, look at that! Oh, look at that! Oh,
sounds much
oh,
too.
We're underneath the couch. We're underneath the couch now.
Much too.
Well. Everyone's reactions to that were funny because some people like they put the thing on and they literally just stood there like, oh yeah, cool, all right, huh, yeah, look at that. And then this one woman screamed the entire
She was on the ride, man.
Oh, man. She would only stop to take a breath and then continue to scream. So of course everybody in the building, you know, thought someone was being murdered. So.
Good work, Jordan.
You know, running to over to where my office was, and then everyone's just, you know, standing there with their cameras out filming it, laughing.
But they continued with the project? You didn't lose a client because you put someone on a virtual roller coaster?
No, I think she had a great time.
Okay, good.
Like, I kept asking her, I was like, oh, you're all right? I can stop the demo right now.
That's great.
It was so funny. I imagine that woman has never... had any kind of like never sat down in front of played a video game before.
Sure. Yeah.
Or sat in front of a TV and just watched a television episode. Man, her reaction was it was hilarious.
I mean, I still have that with some of my friends that lost touch with video games a long time ago, or my parents' friends, like not realizing how far game graphics have come in the last 15 years. It's just like then you throw a virtual reality thing on them. It's next year's going to be a lot of fun when that thing actually hits stores. So
I'm excited for it. When there's an actual commercial release for it. Yeah. One guy on the roller coaster one, like one of the roller coasters would go through the handle on a coffee cup, and he kept ducking, and then it would go underneath the couch. And every time, because I could watch it on the other monitor where he was, and he kept ducking every time something would like pass over his head. He would like whoa, and just jump down real quick. So that was fun to watch. it was fun to watch people standing there in the middle of my office with this, you know, these goggles on, and then like, whoa, and like, whoa, jumping around, dodging, moving around, that woman screaming.
So they're going to be, I feel like maybe the next YouTube sensation will be like basically Mystery Science Theater style filming people playing Oculus Rift, like not actually showing what they're playing, but just like literally reacting to different people playing it.
I want to see animals wear it. Like an animal that just has no concept that it's like what's happening. Like, you know, you see like a cat looking at its reflection in a mirror.
I don't know what you'd do because like they would just immediately run with it, like, and it's like run right into the wall or something. Like that's the you can't. Like,
I was actually worried about that because I set it up at a standing desk.
The guy just took off walking away.
Well, I had one coworker that kind of started doing that.
Yeah.
I think he was being funny.
It wasn't funny.
Well, he kind of almost knocked the entire thing over. He was moving around a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And then like about 4 a.m, another one of my coworkers, he came in, started up one of the demos, put the Oculus on, and then just laid down on the ground. Yeah.
There's nothing virtual about this bill I'm about to give you.
The cord's not really that long, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I what I kept waiting for that to happen is to someone to put that there, like that when that woman started screaming. I was afraid she was just going to start kicking and like.
Well, that was like. Punch. I've heard that about like some of the demo units. It's just like they worry about people just ripping the rift yeah. off their face and like slamming it down or something like that. So
I. I had that reaction when that spider was crawling up my arm. It was, and then I like I put the Oculus on, I'd put headphones on over it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got to the point where everyone was at the end of the roller coaster, and was like, "Get this thing off me!" And they would just start to take it off, and then it would get tangled up in the. And I'm like, "Just I'll do it. Let me take the headphones off first. You're getting like 12 feet of cable all." Spun around on each other.
Well, I still got to come by and check that out. Jason, have you been around any demo units of that yet?
I haven't, but I've watched enough of the videos right. of, you know, the people. You know, there's that infamous one where the guy starts leaning forward, and then all of a sudden he's on the floor.
In the mall.
Yeah, that's great.
In the middle of a mall. Oh, man.
Gosh, that's great.
The one in the mall where like, the dude's leaning forward, and then his buddy pushes him.
Yeah, but no,
I haven't been near one though. I don't know other than you. I don't know anybody else that's got one. So.
Well, I can understand that reaction though, because you put that thing on, and if you're the type of person who can, I don't know, just like convince yourself that it's that like this is happening, that this is real, then yeah, I could see how if you were doing a roller coaster demo and someone pushed you forward, I'm falling out of the roller coaster. I'm falling to my death. Ah! So, yeah, you guys are more than welcome to swing by the office anytime. You'll have to let me know though, so I can bring in my my actual gaming PC, because the only thing I have,
get serious.
I have, yeah, is my laptop, and that thing, it just makes you sick.
Sure. So what have we been doing? We were going through some horror movies because it's October now, and you know. I had some friends who were watching.
Did it have giant spiders in it?
No, there are no giant spiders in this movie.
Okay, then I can stay.
But I was excited to show some people Grave Encounters, which I believe I've talked about on a previous show, but I watched it like 3 times in the past week. So
is it a movie?
It is a movie. Grave Encounters is a not rated horror movie. So just so you know where the barrier of entry is here. That starts out, it's half...
Oh, that looks it's horrifying.
Half, yeah, it's half I'm parody
doing
of...
I'm doing a Google image search. Yeah.
it's half a straight parody of the show Ghost Adventures. Like, they literally rip off the intro and the characters from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the first third of the movie, the first act of the movie is them filming what would be an episode of their cable show. And then
is that the one where they're like all bro being all bro about it?
Yeah, that's
like,
the
come at me, ghost, come at me.
Yeah, that's the bro ghost show. And then so it
I'll put you right in the face, ghost, bring it.
So as someone who loves that show, like unapologetically, like I realize how dumb it is, but I find it really entertaining. The first third of this it's entertaining enough on its own. Like just the parody of it. And but then things get weird. And it evolves into a found footage horror movie. But what drew me to it originally was one of my buddies watched it, and he's like, you need to check this movie out. I was like, well, it looks really dumb. Why do I need to check it out? I was like, well, it's a found footage movie, but unlike most found footage movies, they actually show you shit. Like, there are, like, literally the shit coming after these people. You get to see them, and it's, you know. The effects are what they are, but it's really entertaining, and the twist in the movie as far as like when stuff starts to go wrong is really cool. And I converted some new fans last week, and then like I said, then came back and we watched it again. So
you talking about that right now, I was just talking about how I invest in it. I'm in an old building right now, and we just turned the radiator on. So there's all this crazy banging going on all over the building. Yeah,
Make sure that building is.
I think your part of the story's done. We're done talking about ghosts. I'm in the basement of this old building listening to you talk about the ghost stories.
Yeah, building might be alive. That's all I'm saying. Might be some weird shit went on there, and it's an old building, man.
We do have a crazy murder room.
Mm-hmm.
Just a room with no windows, a big steel door, and there's just like a drain in the bottom, middle.
And bodies. Piles and piles of bodies.
Concrete floor. Yeah.
And a computer for email.
Should put the Oculus in here.
Jason, you watch a bunch of movies. Has Grave Encounters even come across your radar?
Oh, yeah, it's come across my radar. I can kind of see the appeal of it. You got to get past that first third and realize that, what they're doing.
And that's a chore. Like, I only tolerated it because it was a send-up of something I know entirely too well. So, and it does drag on for a little bit too long. And then, it was just kind of like, I was like, no, stick with the movie. 10 more minutes. And then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And then it's one of those movies that the only reason why I got away with watching it is because my wife wasn't home.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Did you see the sequel?
I don't know. I have not seen the sequel.
I believe they're both on Netflix. So,
are they?
It is. If you know how the first one ends, it is. They shouldn't have made a sequel, and they made a sequel. So
awesome!
It's ridiculous.
This is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite October until you watch Sleepaway Camp, by the way.
Sleepaway.
Oh my gosh. Those are terrible. There's like 12 of them too.
For some reason, this guy that I used to work with, every New Year's Eve we'd watch that movie.
I had married friends, and that was their favorite movie. They had the $200 box collection.
Oh, was it the med kit one?
I don't know. I didn't pay any attention to it.
Red cross on the front of it. Yeah, that thing was awesome.
Was it called Sleep Awake or Sleep Awakening?
Sleep Away Camp.
Awake. Okay.
Sleep Away Camp.
Right. It was the campiest kind of like horror.
Oh, it totally is, but it has the best ending.
All right.
The endings of all endings.
This is what there October's for. I'll check it out. Yeah, no shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spreading the good word of Sleepaway Camp.
Yep. Heck yeah. The best.
Jeez. All right.
Video games, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're here. I think that's why. That's where we were originally here. I'm not sure if that's ever the point anymore, but video games.
It's just now become a Sleepaway Camp podcast.
So I feel like Shadow of Mordor is taking over a lot of my friend's time right now, and I don't know if you gentlemen have played it, how much you've watched of it, but I am 6 or 8 hours into it, and I haven't done shit in the game, and I fucking love it. So,
probably 8 hours into it.
Yeah, I'm still.
You've only been streaming.
I've streamed.
Is that the time you've played?
I think I've streamed about 6 hours of it, and I played a couple hours offline. I was kind of bummed because the big thing in this game, like obviously the nemesis system, but I mean, put up a couple videos of my particular nemesis, which is still my favorite character I've come across in a very long time.
Except
so
Bright Eyes.
Because like, so they've done a really great job of building up all these orcs and giving them personalities, and I'm still curious like how many different orcs are in this game and how that system works. But, most of them, like, so you run across a captain out in this open world, and the open world is, you know, very much Assassin's Creed meets the Batman Arkham games. Very well done, but nothing like, they're not doing anything extremely awesome with the open worldness of it. It's all in this nemesis system that make all these NPCs that you come across actually matter, because they're captains and they have names and they have personalities, and every time you see one, it dramatically zooms in on them, and they taunt you and they remember what you did to them the last time, or they killed you the last time, and they have some cheesy lines, some entertaining lines, but pretty overall I enjoy all the taunting right before the battle ensues, and whether or not you kill them or not. But
what's Bright Eyes' thing? Is he just super optimistic?
Yeah. So Bright Eyes, my particular nemesis.
Hey there, Ranger.
Bushy-tailed as well?
Yeah. He is this.
Does he turn around? Bright Eyes.
No.
Every now and then I fall apart.
So I think there are like 4 or 5 orc classes. Like there's dudes that have spears. There's guys with shields. Bright Eyes is an archer. And he always comes at the worst time. Because the first
like a personal problem,
right? left that one out there. I actually ran across him the first couple times when I was fighting one or two other captains. Like basically, I'm at the point where I can do battle with one captain and his minions, and perhaps deal with a second captain. But if a third captain shows up, I'm just fucked. They're too strong. But you know, Bright Eyes always shows up as a third captain, and he's like shooting arrows at me and killing me. But when he shows up, and like I said, everybody has all these memorable one-liners. Bright Eyes just screams. He just he's killed me at least four times. And they
come over and teabag you too.
He's killed me four times, which means I've gotten the intro to him four times, and an outro after he's killed me, and it's all screams or grunts, and it's just like, or it'll just be like do that like some creepy heavy breathing, just like, and. If I hadn't met the other orcs first, it wouldn't have stood out as much, but it was just perfect. This was the first guy that killed me, and he's just nuts. And
well, the real fun thing to think about, though, is that somebody had to sit in a closed studio and yes. record all that.
And there's so many of them. Like I haven't come across. I'm sure there's repeated lines, but like they put a lot of time into that shit, and just the little unique armor pieces and, you know, facial features of the different orcs. They all feel like unique personalities and just give you that reason to give a shit about who you're killing in that game. And like I said, I haven't really done much in the game, and I've done maybe four story missions, and the rest of the time I'm just hunting down captains that I don't like and messing with their power structure and dying an awful lot. And because every time I like, you know, so they've got like,
what is the death work in the game then?
What's that?
Because the orcs can get promoted, right?
Right. So
it's not like you die and then just load a checkpoint.
Right.
Like it keeps moving forward.
So they're like, So like, if you die, like it basically resolves any other conflicts that are going on and then resets them. So it's just like, if I died, the guy that killed me, he's going to level up. But there was also this duel between two other captains that was going on elsewhere in the world that I could have interrupted. But because I died, that resolves itself. One of those guys died and the other guy got promoted. And then it shifts everything around and promotes new orcs, and you got to discover who they are. It's so cool. And
can you just load a checkpoint? Is that not...
No. It's just kind of a continuous save. So it just drops you at a you don't die, and they kind of work that into the story that you're, you know, death doesn't want you or whatever they said, and and so you just respawn at another tower. But time has passed, so they've leveled up, and so there's a new structure. And there's like four or five level. I think there's four levels to the orcs as far as how they can rank up before they're in the top level of being like a war chief, and then But yeah, it was just like every time I would kind of get that top level of orcs taken care of, right below the war chiefs, because I hadn't unlocked that at that point. Like I'd take care of all the elite captains or whatever, and there'd be like one left, and I'd want to try to knock him out. So the guys that get promoted are actually like not quite as strong as the original guys. Every time I get to that point, I would die like four or five times by some lowly guy that would just get promoted up the ranks and be stronger than the guy that I originally had in that spot. So it was just like...
You wouldn't just hear maniacal laughter and then an arrow take you out.
No.
And then screaming from the distance.
Oh, man.
Roller coaster Oculus demo, man, I'm telling you.
Well, I think they were recording sound from those demos, so... But yeah, I've been talking to some buddies that have been playing the game, and not to spoil anything, I mean, I'm a ways away, and I'm sure Aaron and I will talk about this game extensively coming up, but some of my fears about like how the scope of the game, like how big the world was, I've kind of been relieved, and that the game's a little bit bigger than I thought it would be, and I don't see myself slowing down with it. This is like... Man, this is the best game I've played in a long, long time.
I must say, I knew very little of this game before it came out. The only reason why I actually know of it is just because of tech demos of people sort of getting it before a few people. And so I've been watching videos, and, you know, sort of that price point has been a big factor in a lot of things lately. And so, you know, to see people enjoying this a whole bunch
and
makes me pretty excited to potentially, you know, throw down the full price for just to be in it with everyone else rather than being after the fact like I usually am with everything else.
I mean, the common reaction has been, is it just single player? And yes, it is, but I don't think that's a detractor. I think it's just there's so much to do. That world feels alive. And like I said, the NPCs matter. All the other, like, you know, open world mission stuff, the story stuff, it's all fine. It's not any better or worse than anything else that's out there, but it's just, like I said, yeah. I'm off doing...
Not every game has to be multiplayer, you know? Let's retain the single player world, but to make it a whole world in which you're engrossed and you don't know any better is...
It's 2014. Everybody's connected. Everything has to be multiplayer.
Sorry, Mark Zuckerberg.
So when do you get your Hobbit sidekick?
I don't know. The one thing I haven't liked is that Gollum...
It's a Lord of the Ring game, so...
Gollum's in it, so I don't think there's going to be Hobbits, but Gollum's hanging around for some weird reason.
Well,
but
he's technically is a Hobbit.
Shut up. I'm just gonna say, I don't think this game is for Lord of the Rings lore fans, because the one thing I will say as far as, like, so the combat system works like Batman's Arkham's combat system, but the thing I love about Batman is that he doesn't kill people, but it's really satisfying to kill people, because the executions that they have,
they're not people.
Very
A plus
decapitation work on this game. I'll say that lightly.
Aaron said something real funny in chat when you started playing the game. He said this game is like if Batman's parents got killed by an orc. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's pretty good. Jason, what have you been doing, man? What have you been playing?
Honestly, the only thing that I have played extensively is probably Microsoft Craft.
I see what you did there. That's pretty clever. That you should go on the road with that.
That looks like a full-time job, that new server that you're on, the amount of work that people are putting into it. Like, I couldn't do that. When we all had a server together, I maybe spend maybe an hour a night, maybe a couple of hours on the weekend. And even then, it was just to get in there and, I don't know, shear my sheep and collect beef from the cows. Like, man, doing anything massive like that, it'd be like 8 hours a day, like another job.
Yeah, so, you know, of course, 1.8 came out as the last major update. Had pretty much been playing single player for quite some time, for a number of months. Really hadn't gone online, even played, like, PvP on any kind of server. Just kind of was in my own little world and messing around with that whole stuff. And, yeah, and then I was starting to get the hankering for, you know, seeing other people playing the games, people come and visit and kind of having that interaction. And I ended up applying and getting on GroundFox, which is a pretty big server. It's got a number of people that some of us might be familiar with. Mavis would be one of them. Of course, she's connected to Ethan, and that's kind of how I know of her. And I know a few other people on the server, and have kind of basically the process was that you kind of got together and played a couple other random Minecraft-related games, and then, you know, they you have to get voted in. I mean, that's just kind of how it works, and so it's whitelisted. And yeah, and so I've been on there for, 3 weeks now.
Are they other YouTubers, though? Are they making videos at the same time?
So, you know, Mavis is one. Mukaki is another guy that does stuff. He's connected to a few other YouTubers. And there's others. You know, there's others that I'm sort of getting used to, and and trying to get acclimated to the whole process. So, you know, we all communicate via a big Skype sort of thread, and we all we have our own little Reddit that gets updated automatically whenever we publish videos, which is pretty convenient. So if you want to see what other people are doing, just go to the GroundFox Reddit. I'm included on that, which is very nice.
You can ignore his videos, though.
Ignore the videos. So I am...
His videos. Everybody else is cool.
I am 3 videos in now, and I have another one ready to go for tomorrow. And yeah, Jordan's right. I mean, you can either just get on there and do whatever you want. There are people like that. There are people that don't actually do videos, but they contribute to the community somehow. And so you get on there and you mess around and you have your fun. But then, of course, there's other people that do videos. And yeah, it's that fine line, whether or not you want to make it your job or you want to make it something fun. And so, you know, sometimes I'll go on there and I'll just do whatever. I'll just, you know, mess around or go check out other people's bases and try to think of ideas for other videos, and other times I'm recording content. So yeah, it's that fine line whether or not you want to make it your job or you want to make it fun. And I think for some people that's what it is. I mean, you if you don't have fun with the game, there's no reason to even record it. So
well, I think it makes sense for the YouTubers. Like the idea of, like, you know, I'm gonna come home and then I'm going to spend 3 hours in this world. Like, well, you know, you're producing content for your channel.
Yeah.
But that's where I keep, like, even when we had our server, like the times where I'd be, you know, Saturday night and I wouldn't have anything to do, I'd be like, I'm going to build a big ass tower. and then that's it. I spend like 3 hours working on this giant tower that looks like shit because I don't know. Like, I'm not doing what you do and going to creative and, you know, do all the little nice architecture, little features on this. And I just start building the thing in the world, and then it's not creative. So if I mess up, I then have to, you know, spend the time to actually tear a wall down and then rebuild the thing. But I'm just doing it in the hopes that maybe, you know, Jason will walk by it or Ethan will see it. Like, I'm not making YouTube videos or anything. Yeah.
Are there like the equivalent of, like, that sounds like a Minecraft photobomb, basically. Like, it's just you're the dude not really talking to anybody, building random structures that might show up in their videos or might get their attention to be like, why is
I was doing a statue
of a jackalope wearing
Minecraft skin is Wanderer from Shadow of the Colossus. So I was going around putting save shrines everywhere. Yeah, nobody on this server has ever played Shadow of the Colossus. Nobody had any idea what they were. Finally, I think when Mavis joined the server, she was like, oh yeah, Shadow of the Colossus, that's cool. Like, oh, thank finally someone.
Someone geez, validated these things, one take, thing George has done.
Oh, so long to make.
What's
like you, what? Yeah.
But one of the really cool things that has come out of this community is there's actually a resource pack that one of the guys on Ground Fox has made. It's called Three Steps. So basically, when you're crafting items in Minecraft, so to make a stair, you have to use three blocks. So you have one block here, and then one block down here. So technically, that would be three steps. But when you place that block in the world, it only shows up as two steps. So what they've done is they've sort of tried
madness.
To... Madness. Right. And so they've created this resource pack or this texture pack that makes things look like the actual crafting recipe. So your three stairs have, or your three steps have three steps on them. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty, you know, it's an interesting little spin, and it's very subtle in that way. So there's a lot of really interesting people on that server. And so I've been on there for less, I know it's been at least 2 weeks. And so you can keep track of your statistics on particular servers or worlds. I have played for 2.18 days total.
Wow.
And so
in 2 weeks?
So just to show you the amount of time that some people spend.
Yeah, it's a part-time job for you right now.
Or, I mean, 60 hours.
Yeah. Well, ish. Yeah. And so, but you know, a lot of times, like, let's say, you know, this past Friday, all I did was Bill or Mukage. He was streaming, and so we were just messing around with him during the stream. You know, we were infiltrating him during his stream and messing around with him. And then afterwards, he, Mavis, and Weremuff, and this other guy that we know, we all just hung out and Skype off air, you could say, and just messed around. So, you know, you get to know each other as well. So it's not just, you know, gaming. It's just kind of just hanging out and just goofing around. And we got on this random YouTube DJ website where you could choose your own music and people be DJs and got to know each other through music. And we were kind of adult beverage in, and it was fun.
Nice.
So why not? So it's not just Minecraft, I guess, but it is pretty much just Minecraft for me.
That's cool. You tend to, like, every time you talk about Minecraft, I'm like, okay, so what are you doing this time? Like,
well, this time, okay, in this particular server, I am building a Tomcat.
Okay.
A fighter jet.
All right.
And it's turning out to be pretty nice. Yeah. No, so it's a little
big, I think.
It's bigger than it needs to.
It's a little bit overambitious on the size of it, yeah.
But my player skin is Maverick from Top Gun, so nice. It's about time that I built a fighter jet. It's fully detailed. It's
fully loaded.
It's turning out to be one of my favorite builds. I'm enjoying it. It's not just a chore like all my wedges have been.
Is someone building a tower for you to buzz?
Wait, they are now.
Or a giant volleyball net.
Hey, there will be. Well, I have my skin. So they updated his skin, so you can wear like clothing now. So you can have like an outer layer.
Take your shirt off and play volleyball.
Well, my character skin underneath is just jeans. That's it. And so it's shirtless with the glasses, yeah, with the jeans, and then my the jacket layer is the leather motorcycle jacket. So it's
you're
all
doing it, you're doing it well, right. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm living the Minecraft dream. I'm living it. I'm living vicariously through Minecraft.
As someone that can offer no real opinions of Minecraft, it sounds like you're doing it right.
I'm enjoying myself.
Jordan, have you been taking your shirt off lately, playing some video games, or what have you been doing?
That's the only way to play video games. I had to for our gauntlet run, because I was the warrior. And Aaron, for some reason, kept telling me to dress for it, so... No, I started playing a Cave Story. That game has been sitting in my Steam library since I think I had a Steam library. So I had a little bit of free time over the weekend, and the...
So why'd you choose it?
The RPG... hack and slash game that I've been playing is there's a reflex review of it on the site. I make a joke about the loading times.
Yeah,
the loading times usually take about 5 minutes, and I wanted to start the game over again and do the Paragon run, because I did an evil run the first time. I couldn't do it. I was like an hour or two into it. I was just trying to like run through it as quick as I could, but I can't, because every time I need to exit a village or go to the other side of the city or whatever, I would hit that 5 minute loading screen. So I was like, I can't take this. And I need something that's a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And so something that I can probably finish tonight, because it was Saturday evening.
Yeah, it's a Cave Story. Here's a small, quick
game.
Yeah,
so I finally, I was just going through my library and I was like, yeah, Cave Story. I don't know. It seems like one of those like indie classics. Like, I don't really know that much about it, actually.
It is like, traditional. It was, like, indie before indie was cool.
Right.
Like, it's older, but it has now been ported to everything, and...
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that the developer of it, the Pixel Studios, like, he's not done anything since. And the only thing that made me remember that I had Cave Story was I've been seeing... he's got some demo going around where you're, like, a little frog running around.
Well,
but I keep seeing... Sites keep pulling that. That game up, and then of course there was reference Cave Story.
Oh.
So I gave the game a shot. It was actually really good. The jumping is terrible in the game. As somebody who has been working on making 2D platformer sprite type games like that, I hate when there is any type of acceleration on your movement. Mm-hmm. When I release the
button
directional pad, I want my character to stop. When I press forward, I want him to be moving as fast as he can be moving. This game's got a little bit of acceleration.
This game disagrees with you.
But it wants you to do like some precision platforming too. Yeah, I can't do that kind of stuff. Luckily though, one of the guns you get real early in the game, every gun you get, you can power it up 3 levels, and so it'll get more powerful. Well, the machine gun on the 3rd level, you can use it as a jetpack. You just shoot down, and then you just fly up into the sky. So at that moment, none of the jumping even mattered, because I never jumped after that. I just always used the machine gun to float around everywhere. Problem is, it replaces your primary gun. So by the time I got to the end of the game, every main character in the story was dead. I had lost that main weapon, and I'd found the guy that I stole it from the beginning of the game. I refound him later in the game, and he had said something about how he wished he knew who had it, because he wasn't finished with it yet. And I was like, oh, okay. Obviously, that must become the most powerful weapon in the game. So I knew every major important NPC is dead. I think I got the bad ending. There must be a different ending to this game. There's no way someone would just make a lighthearted game like this, would just systematically kill off every like lovable NPC in the game. So I of course just, Googled it real quick and found out how to get the good ending.
Oh,
so I was
okay.
Like,
all right.
I played it on the easiest mode. I'll bump it up, because the game says the normal mode's for people that are familiar with it. If you're not playing the easiest mode, so I was like, all right, well, I've played through the game. I'll switch
I'm
to the normal.
With it. I've beat it.
Yeah, I beat it once on the easiest mode. I'm a pro at this game. I'll bump up the difficulty. Well, and this time I'm like, all right, I can't switch out the main gun from the machine gun, because I want to do the good ending, save everybody, and then I want to get the most powerful weapon in the game. Well, this means I don't have the jetpack anymore. I can't just use the machine gun to fly. Oh, man, I raged quit on the game trying to do the platforming in it. Like I said, man, if I didn't know anything about, like, 2D level design, I wouldn't even think about the jumping in the game. But
is it just floaty? Is that the kind of
thing? Yes. Okay. It's floaty. It's, and then
trying to stick those edges when the acceleration makes you fall.
Yeah, and then it's like you're on ice constantly. Like, the second you land... Although, you need to land on one pixel or one block wide square. I just slide off of it. Just keep sliding off of it. So I kind of raged. I raged quit on my second playthrough to the point I actually was like, Cave Story Plus cheat engine. That's why I started Googling. Like, how can I mod this game so that I don't have to do this anymore? So I might restart the game on the easiest mode and just stick with the machine gun. Because I still want to see...
But I don't know if you can call it rage quitting if it's your second time playing through the game.
Yeah, that's true.
I changed things about the game.
I hate this game, but I might restart it to play a third time.
You know, I bumped up the difficulty. It's a completely different game. Now that I don't have that jump, the machine gun to just let me hover and fly everywhere, and the difficulty's bumped up, and it is a completely different game. Because now it's a precision platform.
Okay, gotcha.
And the enemies hit a lot harder. Because that's the other thing, too. Is when I quit, I started a level with, like, 3 health. And it just... I couldn't get past, like, the 5th enemy in the level. Because I'm not picking up health. So I just... I have 3 health. The second I get hit by any, like, spare weapon thing that's flying around, I'm dead. Mm. And so I replayed the same area like probably 15 times, and I was finally like, I'm sick of this. I can't get past this. I'm sick of this. I'm done. This is stressing me out. This game, I was supposed to play this game for fun.
But the third time is where I draw the line. How long is the game? How long was the playthrough?
Maybe like 5 hours, I think.
Okay. Like I've started and stopped it probably half a dozen times. For some reason, I thought it was like, I don't know, a dozen hours or more. So
it pulls like the halfway through the game, you realize like, I thought I was near the end. Okay. No, I'm only halfway through the game. So that was the first night.
That's when
I quit playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the everything flips upside down. You're like, oh my gosh!
So maybe I should just play it on normal and like not have.
No, you play it on easy.
No,
and then just have fun with the game.
Okay,
just walk through it.
Maybe I should have fun with the game.
Yeah, unless you're a big fan of Super Meat Boy.
Oh well.
So that's the problem. Okay, I'm okay with the game being challenging, but I couldn't replay like a Mega Man. Okay, you know, you play the entire level, and it only takes like 5 minutes to get to the boss or whatever. But then you start the boss battle, and you have no idea what to do, so you immediately die. Mm-hmm. And you don't just start right over again at the boss battle. You start over again at the beginning of the level. That's what kind of kept happening with me, and so I'd get to the boss, and I've already beaten the boss, but now the boss is a heck of a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Well, I would die real quickly, and now I've got to do this precision platforming thing again before I can get to the boss so that I can just practice against the boss. Man, that was just grating on my nerves.
It's all better than 5 minute load times.
Yeah, well, that at least I can go and do something. Like, I joked about it in that Reflex review, but no, I got a lot of stuff done. You know, you've got 5 minutes to kill. You can go, you start the laundry, or you can clean up around the apartment.
Yeah, I'm curious, like I said, Cave Story's been around for a bit now, and like it was one of those few, you know, kind of Metroid-style games that was out there, but it was indie developed by a small team. Might be just one dude. I think
it's just one
so,
guy.
So, like,
yeah.
Labor of love, and just really built up a cult fan base, but... Now that there are other games that have sort of populating that genre a lot more recently, maybe it's showing a little bit of its age. But at the same time, it's like on every platform. Like, it shows up every time.
It's a great game. One of the things that probably made it so popular or whatever was actually has a good story. And then it's got a good ending, bad ending. So you can completely miss it. the thing you that you're like supposed Jordan. To do to, you know, to get the good ending. And then there's like little side mission stuff too.
Cool.
So, you know, where a lot of like more modern day indie stuff, less about the story and more about the crazy procedurally generated thing.
Yeah.
Where this game is just, there's ending A and ending B. And that's then fine. There are like a bunch of really cool weapons with like different particle effects that are cool.
You know, I know like the platforming itself kind of frustrates you, but as a developer and I don't know.
I would be fine with the platforming if I had more control over the jumping.
What did you think of the pixel art? What did you think of the art style?
I loved it.
Okay, cool.
And then this is Cave Story Plus. So I didn't realize that the graphics, I thought the graphics looked weird for the game because they weren't very pixelated. Mm-hmm. I think when you play, it's got the new graphics, which are all vector-based. So my second playthrough, I switched it to the old graphics, which are all just beautiful, just real simple pixel art. So I think the game looks 100 times better.
I agree. I don't like the plus look.
I don't like the new
vector. I'm okay with them kind of redoing it and having that option, but this is one of those
music.
Cases.
They also remastered the music. The new music's a lot better than the older music. But right.
So
man,
old graphics, new music.
Yep.
Play it on easy. Have some fun. So
play it on easy. Yeah.
Play it once, but get the good ending. Jordan,
Google it.
Jordan has figured it all out for all of you. Don't be Jordan. But don't wait 5 minutes.
Just go hang out with Jordan, watch him play it again for the third time.
Right. That brings us to game pitches. Basically now we are using our random game generator on a Dashnet. We've got a few options here. I'm going to read through these. Looks like you guys actually selected four before.
I threw four up there.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just going to read through these. We're going to pick one of these and try to figure out what that game actually would be. So you marked it out, but I'm still considering it. Four options here. First one's up.
Weird.
Is a simulation game where you heal industries until you run out of funds.
Isn't that just the equivalent of just buying companies? Essentially?
Just conglomerate simulator, I guess.
Right.
I'm thinking these industries have like psychological problems. You got to heal them mentally. But
oh gosh.
Next up, an adventure game where you go to school with demons because thou must.
I love the end of that.
That's how it sped it out. I died when I saw that.
I feel like that really sets the tone for the game.
Next up, an action game where you blow up space people in a black hole. I'm not sure the physics of that work.
And I'm not sure how racist that is.
Space people?
Space people.
There's just words in there that just felt weird. Together.
Let's see how you feel about these space people. Last one, a shooting game where you feel bad for space people with day one DLC. No, I think you're all right. It is a sequel to the previous game.
Yeah, that's how it spat those out. So it spat out an action game where you blow up space people in a black hole, and then immediately said a shooting game where you feel bad for space people.
So it's got with day one DLC in quotation marks. We're saying the game has day one DLC, or you feel bad for space people with day one DLC. Because I'd almost prefer those parentheses not to be there. But I think
you didn't check the sanity box off when you generated those.
Right.
They all make a little bit too much sense. I got one here. I just ran the thing. Oh. It says, an arcade game where you write poetry with knights and you have way more limbs than necessary.
I don't know.
Wow.
My vote's still to the adventure game where you go to school with demons because thou must.
Because thou must!
Any other votes?
Why would you go to that school? Because I must! Thouest must goeth to that schooleth.
Well, Jordan's shouting, so I guess we have to go with that one.
All right, so obviously, if thou must is involved, that either says to me, like, you're an individual from medieval times, mm-hmm. or...
Medieval times, like, from Vegas?
from the Dark Ages. Thou must might be you're kind of a holy individual. So I'm thinking it's a sim game sim advent. Well, I guess it is an adventure game. An adventure game where you're basically it's a school for angels and demons, for little angels and demon kids.
Or you got kicked out of the angel school, and so you have to go to the demon school. So you're like an angel. You're not fitting in, you know, because you got wings. So
it's or maybe it's
white, fluffy wings. Everyone else has got bat wings.
Are you undercover?
You don't look like the other kids.
It's 21 Jump Street. Undercover angels with demons.
Meets Constantine.
Right.
I was going to say, is it like summer school?
Summer school, that hasn't been revisited in a while. I could go with the summer school adventure game. That could be some random shit.
That was the thing, though. Is like growing up, like you had, like I went to summer school just so I could graduate early. Everyone else was going to summer school because they had to go to summer school.
Oh, you weren't talking about summer school, the movie. Never mind.
I'm just changing.
What's his name?
No, so, that's when you went to sleepaway camp during.
Can this be a parody of the movie Summer School too?
If you'd like, with
demons. But you're an undercover angel cop.
Because the elf must.
But what are you going
undercover? So you talk in King James the entire game.
What are you going undercover for, though?
Because thou must.
To try to figure out.
It's as simple as that. Thou must.
To try to figure out why demons have to go to school. Like, I didn't know there were like laws or requirements in hell. So what are they actually doing there? Is that the mystery you're trying to solve?
Because thou must. I think you guys are reading into it too much. Simple as that. You go to school because you have to.
No other explanations offered.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are some people that say school is hell, so maybe that's just what it is. Because thou must. I'm on board.
Why? And that's how the game ends, is with a why am I here? And so thou must. That's a
it's an adventure game, so maybe that's what your adventure
What if it was your choose your own adventure game where you have to go to school with demons?
I think we can add stuff as long as it still has adventure game in it. So,
and demons and thou must.
Yeah. No, I think every time an explanation is around the corner, it just shuts you down. It's just thou must. You don't get to ask questions.
That's always one of the options.
You don't get to ask questions.
Thou must.
Rookie angel undercover cop. Or we're going to send in the dog detective to do your job. Undercover Cerberus. That's the spinoff. We really got hung up on thou must, but that was the funny part originally, so... Okay, what's going on in the important things stuff in the industry of video games? So The Sims 4 has been out for a while. Jason, did you give in? Or are we still holding strong? We're still holding strong. We're both pretty.
If it was $40, I would have bought it day one.
I totally agree. I'm lucky that Sims other games are coming out. 60? What's that?
That game is $60.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. The full 60.
It's probably making
sense. I guess the people that are going to play it are going to get, you know, several hundreds of hours of gameplay out of it. So I guess it's all right.
At this point, I'm still enjoying watching others play it. Of course, they actually released the patch for it, but it was free, which seems very unlike EA. So
I think they had to have taken some lessons from SimCity. Like that.
I read a bunch of people saying they're trying to lull people into a false sense of security with it. They're just trying to like throw a smoke grenade down. Like, oh, free, it's a free DLC. Everyone's been complaining about this. We were going to release it for free anyway. No, I bet anything they were, you know, all the hate going around about they're not being swimming pools in the game. Like, they were probably planning on like releasing some big like beach party DLC or whatever, you know, charge for it.
But now they're
just to qualm the hateful masses. Like, let's just give it away. Was their intention all along, and people are just reading into it because we're all
so. What Jordan's reference is the actual headline that I never got to, which is that they added for free. They added ghosts, swimming pools, and some Star Wars costumes.
Star Wars.
Yeah, which still doesn't make any sense.
Which was the thing that made me uncomfortable, because So yeah, EA is the Star Wars developer. They have the Star Wars license. It's like, oh, yeah. So they just get to drop this in. I don't know. I mean, on one side, it's hilarious to like make Darth Vader do weird Sim shit, but at the same time, it's still kind of gross. So I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm not playing the game, so what do I matter?
Yeah.
Now I know you have certain clothing. So you have like your sleepwear, you have your like your daily wear and stuff. Are you just always Darth Vader? Are you Darth Vader standing in the shower?
Yeah, I wonder if I bet it's just a Darth Vader costume. But if you're gonna
that would be amazing though. It would be amazing though if you got the shower and you just only had the mask on and everything else was blurred. Like if that is the case, if
I want to try it out
for me that you can wear just the Darth Vader mask in the shower, I will buy it tomorrow for $60.
We gotta do some.
I don't know anything about The Sims. It just looks like a costume pack. But yeah, what you're saying, I didn't even think about that. Like if it actually was Darth Vader, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that opens up the other possibility of like, you know, putting Darth Vader in the ridiculously large Mexican hat. You know, like there's other entertaining features there. Like I get the entertaining side, but at the same time, it makes me worried. Like, okay, so where's EA going to draw the line with the Star Wars stuff? So probably. They probably aren't.
Well, think about it. They got new movies coming out a year from now, so.
Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing sacred about Star Wars. There hasn't been for a long time. It's all right.
That's true. I don't know.
But the one big thing, though, that we haven't talked about is the ghost part of it. Ghost. So essentially, if a Sim dies, your new Sim can interact with that one, and then you can play as the ghost.
I'm okay with that.
I think it said you don't play as the ghost.
Maybe I could do my dead space simulator in The Sims.
You can interact with. I read.
No, it says turning them into playable Sims. Player can then befriend the ghost, turning them into playable Sims.
Can they become with friends with the Peter Venkman that I downloaded from the store? And then what happens?
Pretty awesome.
But
my question is, so if you're a playable ghost Sim, then do you just go haunt other Sims without their knowledge and watch their reactions and earn like career points or happiness based on how well you're doing? I mean, I just have so many questions that are unanswered.
We're going to end up playing this game, Jason. This sucks.
I know, and it sucks. The one thing about Sims 4, though, is that honestly, the whole creation system, the whole build system, basically, like you can build a house from the ground up. So you could have like a pre-built house, or you could just go buy a lot, just an empty lot, and you have a certain amount of money, and you could build an entire house. You can customize everything. That honestly is the reason why I would play the game. I would probably like.
It is well documented. You do like building things.
I do like building things, and so that is what's so wildly attractive at the moment is the fact that, because what happens is they've condensed this down to like neighborhoods, which kind of sucks because they're so. I mean, that's just what they did with that's what they did with SimCity. It's like, oh, here's your tiny little map. Good luck. And so that's what they've done with this, it seems. But the fact that there's an empty lot that you can sort of build from scratch is pretty awesome. And it seems
as long as my like sociopath Sim that I make online can wander into your neighborhood and burn your house down, I'm okay with it.
That would be pretty amazing.
I have no idea how the online works, but probably Jason and I will figure that out in 2015 if I had to guess.
Is there online?
Probably not.
I don't think there is.
2014, everything should have online. Everything should be multiplayer.
2014, every EA game is always everybody's online connected. And not working. That's mean. I didn't mean that.
Did you see that that somebody tried to mod SimCity to have bigger maps, and it basically was just like,
I believe it.
Like, melted someone's computer. Yeah. Basically, EA was
processing.
Like, yeah, EA was like, we told you so. It's like, they were right about something.
It's like, you should have stopped making the game and try it again.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would have been the wise financial decision. I should run EA. I know what I'm doing.
Don't be surprised if you see it on my channel anytime soon.
Don't be surprised to see me follow up immediately after I find one of my friends that is playing that game so we can talk about it.
Have you guys played the other Sims? I have never played a Sims.
I've never played the Sims at all.
Game in my life. I have never known anybody that's played a Sim game. I have never watched any a video. I've never heard people talking about the Sims. I don't get it. I don't get what the draw is to it.
I'm pretty sure I don't understand two. I skipped 3, but I didn't play 2 extensively. I think I played it way after the fact.
I just see, like, lots of dumb stuff happening in some in the videos I've watched, and I like dumb stuff, and I want to make some dumb stuff happen. So
I've seen someone grill a baby. That's the only thing I know about The Sims, is someone modded it so you could cook babies in the grill. It was horrifying. No, it was an actual part of the game. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't part of the free patch they released just recently.
Oh, it was the demon babies.
That's what people were clamoring for. Was three had this feature.
Forget swimming pools. We need to be able to grill some babies.
Well done, baby patch. Next up, another great company does something smart. Disney. Just decided, hey, we only care about the one mobile game we're working on. All those
Star Wars.
We only care about one Star Wars mobile game they're working on. So all these other Star Wars mobile games that we didn't work on, we're going to shut those down, including Tiny Death Star. And they didn't tell anybody that was playing the game or the developers. Hold on. The other side of that is this was still making a decent amount of money for Nimblebit too. So it was just kind of like, here, a little bit, let's shut down your revenue stream. Thanks. You can go, Jason.
Okay, so I get a brand new phone, right? Uh-huh. I get a brand new phone. I got this nice I'm gonna they're not paying me to say this. Uh-huh. The LG G3 phone is a pretty sweet phone.
Okay.
So if you have the ability to upgrade a phone, get it. It's worth it. Cha-ching. So with that, they were running a promotion that you get a tablet for 99 cents. You just have to pay for the monthly service for 2 years, whatever, because it has mobile data on it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, awesome. I'm not much of a tablet guy, but I know some people that were really enjoying Tiny Death Star. And guess what? I suddenly became one of those people. And I'm like, this game is great. And then I read this, and I was just like, no.
The whole reason I wanted a tablet, no.
And then I was so just, shitty.
Yeah, and it was just like,
it's real life for you.
I'm pretty sure I just sat there with I don't have my tablet right here, but I'm pretty sure I just sat with my tablet going,
oh,
like that just happened.
I can't believe it. Cause like, okay, so that, I remember that game got announced before Disney bought Star Wars, like that whole thing. So it was kind of like in the works and I'm sure, and Disney's just trying to like bring all that shit in-house. They're trying to own everything Star Wars going forward. Like, I get that, but it's just like, Tiny Death Star, like, was
That's all you talked about extensively for such a long time, and when I had the chance to actually, like, play it, I was so pumped.
I mean, you can still play, if you have it, you can still play it, but...
Like, I know.
But man, this was the first game I pretended I lived in Australia so I could get the game early. and I restarted the game 3 times,
You restarted the game.
I got everything in the game.
Oh, who would ever play a game twice? That's so weird.
Yeah, Jordan.
That is not a game. That is not a game with.
It's not a game. It's not a game.
It's life.
It's a click and wait.
Right.
Why would you start over again?
Because I didn't build it right.
Re-click and all right.
Because I don't know. Fair, it activates.
Fair point.
Those click and wait games activate a certain math part of my brain that I figure out the right way to play it, so I can maximize.
Tiny Towers came out, so I know.
Did it become part of your routine?
Daily routine? Oh yeah. I
had to leave the tablet at home because I was taking it with me to work, and in between commercial breaks, I would just be sitting there doing stuff.
That sounds completely reasonable to me. I don't
buying,
ever, I,
buying stock. Yeah,
it's all mindless. It's not a problem.
Moving people in the elevator.
I mean, I ran out of shit to do in that game, so that game has a special place in my nostalgic Star Wars heart. And yeah, it's just really shitty that like I felt like that was. That would be a good game. That would be a Star Wars game you'd want to promote, and yet they want to shut it down and like pretend like those developers had like weren't counting on it. Like it's just such a shitty thing to do.
I feel like Disney did a service to everyone. Shut it down. Pointless game down.
Is it called like Star Wars Commander? The game they're pushing, like they're trying to make Star Wars Clash of Titans, basically.
Yeah,
Clash of Clans. And, it's not like these games are overlapping. It's like, because I'm
That's what I don't get. Like, why would you take a game down?
Yeah.
like in this day and age where like they just keep like re-releasing games.
Well, consider the crop of remastering Star Wars games. Yeah,
it's a good one. All right, let's move on to something that makes sense. Jason, can you please read the press release for the Tetris movie?
Where do you want me to start at the beginning?
I want you to read everything above that. Yeah. No, there's the last two paragraphs. Those last two paragraphs. They're making a Tetris movie. That's all the setup people need. Read the.
Do I need to do the serious movie voice?
You need to do whatever you feel is right. Like, all this right. is serious business.
All right.
From the. Go ahead. Sorry.
From everyone?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That part? Okay. Everyone knows that Tetris is one of the best known, most beloved brands in the world.
Bum, bum.
What everyone doesn't know yet is this epic sci-fi story that we're going to tell. That's what's really exciting. What started as a simple computer puzzle game 30 years ago, today is a part of our global consciousness.
In a world where people have run out of ideas for movies.
Connecting people of all ages and backgrounds and feeding our innate desire to create our order out of chaos. We look forward to partnering with Threshold Entertainment to reimagine that common experience and bring a spectacular new Tetris universe to the big screen for the first time. And this new universe, as you'll soon find out, there's much more to Tetris than simply clearing lines.
I don't even. I think, okay, so a while back.
Whoever wrote that immediately shot themselves.
Okay, so this is from the
wait, this is going to get published?
Yeah. This is from the company that made the Mortal Kombat movies. And then also the article here on Joystick also references what this reminded me of was when they were, one of those studios is super excited about getting the rights to do an Asteroids movie.
Yeah.
But at least with the Asteroids movie like announcement, they didn't try to pitch something. It's just like, man, you've already thought way too hard about this. But
they are pushing a thought, a consciousness thought that doesn't exist, that will not match their final product. They're trying to set a tone that just simply does not exist. They should have just been like, yeah, we're making a Tetris movie, and then just blown people's minds with a trailer that, like...
yeah, well, it'll never happen. It'll never happen.
Well, it's the same people that did the Mortal Kombat movies. It's just like, come on. Like, of course, they're sitting
what,
in
what
there...
If,
like, in the,
what if it is a Mortal Kombat movie?
That would be pretty amazing. But they're just sitting in this pitch room, and the only way they probably are getting this finance is because they convinced some German people to like throw their like money at it. That's just how that's how these movies
don't
work.
Give
they
your money to Uwe Boll. Give it to us. We're making a Tetris movie.
They go overseas and they convince all these global financiers that, oh yeah, well we got the rights to this like brand. Like you've played Tetris, right? Like, well we can make that a movie. Like, look at the Lego movie. There's no like that didn't make any sense.
I'm sure that's been used a lot actually. Can you imagine?
Exactly.
Look at the Lego movie.
I was going to say, can you imagine how much...
A Monopoly movie! Look at the Lego movie!
Yep. Yeah. We got to get Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is the Monopoly guy in the Tetris movie.
That's about the only thing they get right in this whole description is that, yes, it is a globally known brand. Mm-hmm. That's about it. That's about all it's got going for it, other than the fact that, yes, a lot of people have played the game. But the fact that it should be a movie makes no sense whatsoever. In a science fiction movie, like
sci-fi epic.
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind.
I have no idea.
The only thing that comes to mind is the fact that they you know that Tron exists. That's the only thing I can think of when I hear them like we're gonna make a science fiction movie.
I don't know.
That's the only way they can pull it off in my head is if it resembles something.
These Tetranemos have to be spaceships of some sort. I don't even want to think about it.
Someone gets pulled into a Game Boy and they have to fight for their life. In the world of blocks of falling rotating blocks. I have no idea where there's plot. Like everything else, I mean, Mortal Kombat, the Lego movie, like all of that stuff. Even the Battleship movie, like, okay.
Is there a protagonist?
Where there's plot, but I don't, man, I got nothing. I don't know how this is going to work.
We've already put too much thought into it, so let's.
that's why it's going to be amazing.
It will be amazing.
Because we're. because we're already just putting it at a certain level, and if it either meets or completely
right.
If it meets expectations or is well above it, it'll blow our minds, and if it's awful, we'll be like, we're right, but it'll be amazing to watch it like crash and burn.
Let's get out of here with some game industry shout outs. Just good things going on in gaming right now. Jordan, you got anything?
There's a Kickstarter going around for a game called Battle Chef Brigade. Think Iron Chef.
Got it.
But
Advanced Wars?
The recipes, you have to go out and actually kill the monsters. So Kickstarter video, they show it like...
Iron Chef Monster Hunter?
Yeah, exactly. And there's like cooking... or food preparation in a video game, like I really like that. Like, do you remember Odin's Sphere?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Vanillaware, like the guys that did Dragon's Crown. There was an entire like food thing in that game. That's how you gathered experience and leveled up. Was collecting its certain ingredients and then taking it to the restaurant, and then they would
screw up the food physics. Food platforming?
Well, no, there was no platforming in that. I didn't have to worry about it. So,
but it's a Kickstarter.
I don't know. For some reason, a game around food preparation really, really sticks out. And then the art style is dead on for any studio Ghibli. So that's the other thing. Like, I don't even care if the game gets made. I just like the gifts that already exist.
All right.
For that. Like looking at the artwork around the game.
Sounds like weird shit worth checking out.
Iron Chef meets Monster Hunter. I like that. Meets Studio Ghibli.
So if
any of that rings true with you.
Jason's typing something. Can he talk about it before? Okay. Anyway, yeah. What do you got, Jason?
So I just found this thing probably about an hour before
a minute
this
ago.
It's a game. It's a Kickstarter for a game called The Black Glove,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like it's a lot of the BioShock guys, which surprises me because I'm not like.
Is it BioShock on board. And Halo? Maybe I want to say it was.
BioShock.
But BioShock seemed to be the.
Yeah. Basically, this is like a narrative game, but apparently it's not so linear. I guess they're trying to make it so that you can change the environment that you're in, thus changing the storyline and how the characters that you interact with in that environment sort of go forward. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's got about 30 days to go. They're asking for $550,000, so we'll see if it gets there. But it's an interesting idea. I think it's I think it's different, and I don't know. It's kind of set in that same world, 1920s, 30s kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, definitely. You can. They said BioShock, and it looks to feel very, very Rapture to me. So I'll have to watch that video. So, check that out.
Yeah, it like I said, I got just a little taste of it. Outside of that, again, if you're a Minecraft person, check out the 3 steps. It kind of makes sense. It's kind of fun to see what they're doing with it.
Cool.
So
I'll stay with the Kickstarter vibe here, and a game that I backed that just. Did I think the alpha just ended? Just kind of an early release for backers. Game called Chasm. I get to play that this weekend. And
Chasm?
No, I do not. I really like this game, so don't make fun of it, Jordan.
Oh, I love the pixel art for that game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's beautiful. Beautiful pixel art, Metroidvania game. That's why I backed it. That's how. Deep my thought process went, but playing it and actually seeing so the game kind of takes place around a mining colony, and it has so the setup for it and just trying to open up like a Metroid type of world. I'm always curious, like the excuses they give you to play around in a world like that, and it's a little bit more grounded in reality, I guess, and just exploring caverns and that type of thing with goblins and those types of enemies. So that was kind of cool.
Like the real world.
No, I mean, but just like not sci-fi and not Castlevania is what I'm basically saying. So that felt kind of unique. Like I said, the art style is really good. And then it took one of my favorite new tropes in games, which I loved in Shovel Knight, but like doing corpse runs after you die, and not corpse runs, like you drop all your loot when you die. And yeah. So you have the opportunity to go back and get it if you can work your way back to where you died. It has that mechanic, and that in a Metroidvania game just give me another reason to explore the same areas I'm in. And it seems really smart, really, really well done so far. And that seems to be a project to keep an eye on. So I'm not sure when they're looking at the full release, but yeah.
Do you know how long he's been working on that game? I feel like
a while.
Yeah, I feel like I remember, because the artwork looks about the same as the last time I checked in on it. And I feel like that was
over
a year ago.
I feel like he's just adding depth and just polish to the animations, and like it's gorgeous. So
yeah, it looks incredible.
Cool. All right, that's it for the Top Video Game Podcast and HorribleNight.com. We'll be back with another episode next week. We'll see if we can do three in a row. But Jason, thanks for hanging out.
Hey, glad to be here.
Jordan was also here, and we'll see you next time.